I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and very happy to welcome to our studios Dan Israel, and he is a guy out of the Twin Cities, and you're on album 15, Dan.
15. This is the one.
Yeah, and yet somehow I have managed to not have you in the studio, at least not for a really long time.
It's been a while. I've been on the air here, but you weren't. It was with someone else.
Yeah, so it's been quite some time.
Yeah.
And so I'm really happy that we finally made it work out. You're somebody who's played in Duluth quite a bit through the years. And so thanks for coming in during Pledge Drive when things are a little bit goofy.
That's all right.
Why don't we have you get started with a song? You have a brand new album out called Social Media Anxiety Disorder.
That's what it's called.
And I'm going to ask you some questions about that, but let's why don't we hear a song first? What do you want to start with?
This is a deep cut. This is track 10. It's called Here for Today. Where am I going? What's the plan? How am I ever gonna safely land? Don't know what I'm supposed to be. I stick around and maybe see. Hard to grasp, harder to explain. The daily flood drives me past insane. So much that I can't control. Trying to tame this restless soul of heartache. Kept away of worry. While I'm here, I'm gonna make my way. Racing my mind, racing with time. Trying to take a little, leave a little behind. Bought into the retirement plan. Then you see how the clock outran. All the expectations raised for the finish line of the whole long race for the ring. Get the same. Nothing with that we get to bring. Here for today, while I'm here, I'm gonna make my way. Racing my mind, racing with time. Try to take a little, leave a little behind.
Dan Israel live from Studio A and a tune from his newest album, Social Media Anxiety Disorder, which you just had the release show down in the Twin Cities last weekend, right?
Yeah, last Friday.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And it was so fun. It was great.
And where did you have it down there?
It was at the Hook and Ladder's Mission Room, which is the new room at the Hook and Ladder in Minneapolis. And we sold it out. We actually sold it out.
Nice.
So that doesn't happen very often.
Well, that must have felt pretty good.
It did. We had a great band, great turnout, and everything about it just went perfectly somehow. Somehow, once in a while in life, it happens.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, thanks.
So this album actually comes pretty quickly after your previous album. And that one came after like a whole bunch of stuff in your life changed. And one of the big things was that you quit your job. You had kind of a high-pressure job, it sounds like.
I did. I worked 21 years for the Reviser of Statutes, which is the main office in the legislature in St. Paul that does, you know, the bills, proofread, edit,
all kinds of things like that, bills through the legislature. And it was a juggling act for a lot of years. And I did it out of, you know, necessity. And I liked a lot of people there. Just the work was always kind of, music was always number one for me, but I'd never let that get in the way of doing a good job. It's just, it was hard to do both things.
Right. Obviously, since you're 15 albums in, you did kind of work on music the whole time.
I did all along.
But that sounds like a lot.
And
so, you made that album after saying, all right, I'm done. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious about, have you been able to maintain that?
And so far,
that freedom.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying. It's a lot of, you know, financially, it's sort of difficult to be in these days, especially when with streaming kind of cutting into all your album revenue sales. And so I'm still trying to piece it together. It's like people ask me, I say, well, it's a work in progress. You know, I mean, I would love for this new record to get enough attention that I could keep doing music full time. So that's sort of what I'm hoping, is that this new one kind of takes off, and mm-hmm. trying to make that happen. So
was there ever a time early in your career that you were just doing music, or is this just a brand new thing for you?
Well, there were a couple times. After I went to college in Chicago, and then I moved to Austin, Texas for 3 years. And I worked while I lived there, but some of the time I sort of worked temporary jobs. So there were times where I was a full-time musician then as well. And I worked for the legislature there, actually. Also, so two different states I edited and proofread bills for.
On either end of I-35.
I know, right? And now we're at the very end of I-35 up mm-hmm. here. That's not lost on me, that so much of my life was lived along I-35 mm-hmm. corridor. It's a challenge. It's sort of like every day you kind of go, can I do this? You know, I got to book some gigs. I got to get out there. I got to mm-hmm. promote my music. And so it's sort of like there's a sort of a focus that I never had before. And it's a challenge. I'm just going to say that.
And you have kids, which is a completely mm-hmm. different thing than being a young up and coming songwriter, where you only have yourself to worry about.
Yeah, it's not like I have no obligations. Mm-hmm. I have plenty mm-hmm. of obligations. Mm-hmm. And I have my kids half the time, but they're getting older too, so that changes things a little bit as well. But yeah, I absolutely am responsible for other human beings too. Mm-hmm. So all the more reason to work hard, I guess, right now.
So have you found that you've been able to put what you always... I was mm-hmm. kind of thinking of it as kind of a double-edged sword, because mm-hmm. maybe while you had that job, you were thinking, oh, if I could just do my music, I'd be so happy and that's all I would do. And then once you get that freedom, you're like, wait a minute.
Right.
There's another set.
And I was always afraid of that too. I was always mm-hmm. afraid. I went back. There was like a little profile done on me about artists with day jobs, and there was something I was voicing, like a fear that if I ever got to do music full time, I'd feel this unrelenting pressure to create every day. And it's like, yeah, I do kind of, you know, like I am. This is like less than a year and a half after I released the last album, and part of that is just like, this is my time to do this. You know, I feel like I don't want to say my days are numbered, but it's like the time becomes a little bit more precious when you know that the window might close at some point to being able to be a full-time artist. So, mm-hmm. I go through all kinds of panic attacks, mm-hmm. but right now, you know, there's some momentum from this new album, and people have really responded to it really positively. So like part of me is like, well, maybe, you know, maybe we can, maybe I can keep doing this a while. I would love to, because it's, as you know, it's what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you've definitely gotten some positive reviews. I saw mm-hmm. a couple of things that you posted on your social media.
Yeah.
And so tell me about the album. You made it with two different studios with two different people.
Two different
is that right?
Producers, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention tomorrow is the actual release date.
Oh, it is.
The 11th is the national and like the online, like digital and everything. So even though it hasn't even come out yet, technically.
Oh, okay. See that? I'm glad you spelled that out, because sometimes, especially when dealing with local and regional artists,
right.
that gets really fuzzy because, you know, they're able to just hand you a copy.
It's
and so you
confusing.
Don't realize, oh, it's not out in the whole world yet.
So if everybody could stream, and normally I'm not encouraging streaming that much, but tomorrow go stream away. Go stream it. Everywhere you know. So, yeah, I worked with, and many of my previous records, I'd worked with my drummer, Dave Russ, and Rich Mattson up here on the Iron Range. And this one, Dave played drums, but I worked with John Herkert and Steve Price. they're both great producers in the Twin Cities who I had known for years but had never recorded with. And so some of what people hear as being different about this record is just partially due to working with different people and having different approaches, because everybody's a little bit different, you know, no matter how much they may have similar ethos or approach, they're always going to do things a little differently. And so I think, and I just also came in with the idea that I was going to push the envelope a little bit. And so they're, while I'm kind of categorized as Americana or alt country, whatever you want to call it, roots, that some of this record almost sounds kind of 80s synthy, and there's just different things that I don't normally do, and I just wanted to try to do different things. Mm-hmm. So that's the result. It's a little bit of a different Dan Israel record.
Mm-hmm. So, well, nice.
I mean, 15 times you got to mix it up, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and I think that would be fun after doing this for a while,
yeah,
to kind of challenge yourself and look for different ideas and different things.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with not thinking the previous records were, I mean, I love they're mm-hmm. you know, I'm super proud of everything I've done. I just, after 14 albums, I was like, well, let's try something a little different
and
see if we can kind of change the dynamic a little bit. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, and maybe part of, you know, why you get pigeonholed a certain way is because a lot of what you do, you're doing solo.
Yes.
Like tonight, I'm assuming that's a solo show.
It is solo, yeah.
But, man, you have great band, I mean, on your previous album, too, but some great players, great arrangements, really nice stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. And one of the things I'd like to try to do with this album is get maybe some enough momentum that I can bring a band out on the road a little bit more, because I do, you know, one of my friends said, you know, you're a rocker, you know, that's what you are. You know, you might play acoustic, but in your heart, I think you're a rocker, and that is sort of true. And when I get with a band that is good as the people I've been fortunate enough to play with, it sort of brings that out, and the records have that, you know, so it'd be nice to pull that into my live shows a little bit more, but you sort of need a little bit more infrastructure to be able to take a band on the road. So hopefully that will be something that comes out of all this a little bit more. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear another tune. Okay. Are you switching up guitars
here? I'm switching guitars.
All right.
It'll take no time at all.
This is Dan Israel. Well, this gives me the opportunity to give the phone number. So although we're doing a live from Studio 8, that doesn't mean that you get a break from pledging. 218-726-7181. If you love these live from Studio A sessions that we do, if you love hearing artists in the studio talking about their work and sharing tunes in a more stripped down way than you hear on the album, if that is something that you enjoy, I think it's a thing that kind of makes us special here at KUMD. A lot of places do that. So if you value that, that's what you're supporting when you call 218-726-7181. And like a rock star, we've got lots of guitar changes here as well. Okay, two, but still. So what are you going to do for us next?
Okay, I'm going to do it's track 5 on the new album, and this one actually is a little bit more Americana. It's called Might As Well Be Me.
All right.
I've been traveling on this one-hour road, trying just to get along. Hardly know who I am sometimes, but let's get it down in the song. Been wandering aimlessly so long now, keep wondering who I'm gonna be. And I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it, but it might as well be me. Always something I'm supposed to be doing, giving up staying ahead. Always a reason for me to be stewing, sick and tired of bleeding I bled. I'm ready to head out in any direction that promises to keep me free. Almost out of it, got no doubt of it, but it might as well be me. I'm drawing the curtain, I'm being uncertain. I had more than my share of wondering if I'm cool and tough. My head was clouded, somehow I doubted the things I knew all along, and that I was good enough. I've been looking for someone who can understand what I'm all about. Keeping my options open now, cause loneliness worse than doubt. Can't make up my mind, it's way too hard to find, way for opposites to agree. And I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it, but it might as well be me. lesson in keeping from crying and weeping, or trying to be thankful, let go of hateful. It's easier said than done. I'm doing it my way. I'm leaving on Friday, giving up battles I didn't quite lose, but I never quite won. I've been walking these worn out streets, looking for something I need, trying to fill in this hole in my soul, the emptiness I can't quite feed. Losing the stress now would be a success now, if only I could plant the seed. And I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it, but it might as well be me. Yeah, I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it, but it might as well be me. I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it. Yeah, I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it. Yeah, I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it. I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it. Yeah, I'm almost out of it, got no doubt of it.
That's Dan Israel live from Studio A, another tune from his new one, Social Media Anxiety Disorder. I love the design of this album. It's very retro.
Thank you.
Yeah, the colors, the bright colors.
John Hunt is a great designer in the Twin Cities, and we had this idea to do it like a K-Tel record. So as you can see, it kind of looks like a K-Tel.
Yeah, 12 collection. Original hits from Dan Israel.
It's very optimistic to call them hits before they even come out. Right?
I like that, though. I like that.
Thank you.
I like the the audacity of that, perhaps, is the word I'm looking for.
There is a little audacity.
So tell me about the tune that you just played. Where did that one come from?
So that was probably the first song that I wrote of the whole batch of songs for the record. And I would say the whole album kind of came out of last year I put out that record Year Free. And it went over pretty well. And I ended up going to do a tour in Europe last fall. And I came back, and reality hit me like a thud. And the winter was very hard. You know, it was just I hate complaining to people in Duluth about how bad last winter was, because I know it was even worse up here. But it was a tough winter, and I just kind of hunkered down and wrote a bunch of songs, and I didn't know what I was going to do with them. But that was sort of the first one that came out of the batch of songs, and it was just sort of like it was sort of about my so-called career and my dreams and everything like that. And I'm almost out of it. Like I'm almost out of the ability to keep doing this, but I'm going to keep, because you never know, maybe I'm destined to be able to keep doing this somehow. So that was the gist of what that song was about, was, you know, it's so frustrating and so hard, and so many people are doing this that it seems impossible. And then somehow you have to go deep inside yourself to find that place that knows that you need to keep going on somehow and making more music and putting it out there no matter what. So,
have you been able to do more touring since you quit the job, the day job?
So, well, yeah, to some extent. I play more regionally, I think, than I used to. At least around the upper Midwest. And like I said, you know, I did the Europe thing, and I'm looking at trying to find other touring opportunities out there. You know, it with my kids, there's still that balance of like, I don't want to be gone for months at a time. So that's a little bit tricky. But if the offers come in to go places, I'm going to try to do as much of that as I can going forward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, get out of your hometown a little bit. You know, it gets, as much as I love the Twin Cities, it gets a little stale sometimes only playing in the Twin Cities. You kind of have to bring your music to other people and take it on the road somehow.
And so, you need to give people a chance to miss you.
Yeah, yes. Oh, that's absolutely true. People get sick. And, you know, I've been known to overpost on social media, which is partly why I put that in my title of my album had a little to do with my own addiction to social media. And so I think I need to get out of people's face sometimes to have them. Oh, yeah, it's actually kind of good.
It's so hard to know what you're supposed to do, though.
It's so hard.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Especially for people that I'm going to guess that we're around the same age, or at least in the same generation. And we did not have this stuff.
No.
And this is a new world.
No.
How does it work?
And how much, right, how much do you post? How often do you post? How much do you reveal about your true inner state? Do you present a positive outlook all the time, even when that's not how you're feeling? Like, how honest should you be about what you post? And, and, you know, every once in a while you post something, you thought it was fine with somebody else to tag them, and then you get a little text like, hey, could you take that tag off? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. I should have checked. You know, you assume that if it's something positive, they don't mind you tagging them, but then maybe they didn't want somebody to know that they got you tickets to something.
Everybody's different, and it's just
Everyone's
so hard to
different.
Keep track
it's hard
of it
to know.
All.
We're in a totally unfamiliar landscape with all of this. So.
Well, Dan, I did warn you that when you were here, it was going to be pledge drive-in, so
yes.
I might make you say nice things about community radio, public radio.
And I want people to give to KUMD. I want them to support this great radio station that offers so much. You guys, I've listened when I'm not on the air. I listen too when I'm up here. When I have nothing to do with you, I still tune it in, and it's a great station, and people need to support it. It's we can't do this. We artists and people who try to do independent things need help. We really do. It's crucial, or we can't. You know, we can't bring this to you. I'm speaking for you. Help KUMD. Pledge today.
218-726-7181. Do you do radio stuff down in the Twin Cities sometimes, too,
yeah.
And other places?
Yeah, I sort of went to college a little bit for it, but we had like a station at St. Louis Park High School. We had a station called KDXL, like a high school station. I did that a little. Then I did a little at WNUR at Northwestern. And then over the years, I've just been on a lot of, been on a lot of radio. And I have this dream someday somebody will just give me a show, you know. And I would love to just play music I love and talk to friends and have interviews. And so maybe I'll do a podcast. But for now, just thank you for giving me a moment on your amazing radio station. And then I'm going to say once again, please help KUMD. Today.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. We appreciate it. And we're unfortunately, because of Pledge Drive, we're going to do an abbreviated session today.
Sure.
But thank you for coming in.
Thanks
and we'll get
me.
You back sometime when it is not Pledge Drive.
It's okay. Good to be here. Exciting. It's an exciting time, too.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.